Turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, in verse 20 of that chapter, 21, verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. One of the important truths about the New Testament church is that the New Testament church is autonomous or independent. In the Bible, we have the picture of Jesus Christ and surrounding, encircling him are seven candlesticks. The Bible tells us the seven candlesticks represent the seven different churches that he is writing this book to. Each one of those churches were a church in a specific locality. They were not a denomination. They were an individual local church. Now, obviously, one of the important things that we need to really understand today is the importance of the autonomy of the local church. The local church is meant to function as a separate individual body that functions by itself, under the authority of the Word of God, and in direct relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, if you were a Catholic, you couldn't comprehend how a Baptist church could function, because Catholic churches don't function as a church. They function as a part of a denomination. There's no such thing as a Catholic church that is an independent church. To be a Catholic, you have to have a pope. To be a Catholic, you have to have bishops. To be a Catholic, you have to get your doctrine from headquarters. To be a Catholic, you have to function as a small little part of a big organization with bishops and cardinals and all these different individuals, and the church, or as they would call it, that individual church, is nothing more than a little bit part of a big organism. Now, Lutheranism is the same. Lutheranism does not function as a individual church. Now, they might have an individual church, and they might own their own building, and they might pay their own pastor, but they don't ordain their own pastor. Their denomination ordains the pastor. The pastor is ordained by the organization. His loyalty and his authority comes from the organization. The Lutheran Church each church does not take the Bible and get its doctrine from the Bible.
the church gets its doctrine from headquarters, from Lutheranism. You can't be a Lutheran without infant baptism. And you can't get infant baptism from the Bible. You have to get infant baptism from the organization. That's where they get their doctrine. That's where they get their pastors. They get their pastors from the organization. The organization ordains the pastors. Now, such organizations as the Southern Baptists, they would claim that they're an organization of independent churches. Well, yes, the churches own their own buildings, and they take their own offerings. But, you know, the churches don't ordain their own pastors. The churches don't ordain their own pastors. The pastors are ordained by the Southern Baptist Convention. And the pastors give their loyalty to the Southern Baptist Convention. And when you want a pastor, you go to the Southern Baptist Convention and you get your pastor. They may send him to you and you may vote on him, but the churches don't ordain their pastors. The churches don't send missionaries. The Southern Baptist Convention sends the missionaries. Churches don't send missionaries. The convention sends missionaries. And all the churches send their money to headquarters, and the headquarters divvies out the money to whomsoever they choose. Now that is not an independent local church New Testament organization. It is a more of a denomination than a church under the New Testament church structure. Now, we could say a lot of other things about that, but the clear picture of the Bible is that a church is a body of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse number 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. They, plural, the Corinthians, composed the body of Christ, the church, and each one of them was a member of that body. Now, the church is a living, spiritual, functioning organism. It's a spiritual, living, functioning organism in itself. It's a living, functioning, spiritual organism. If it had to be connected to another organism to be functioning, to be operating, it wouldn't be a body. It would be a part of a body. But the church is a body. Every church is a body of Christ. And so the very nature of the church tells us that the church, New Testament church, is a independent, autonomous body functioning and existing by itself in connection with Jesus Christ. In connection with Jesus Christ. Now, what is the authority of the church? The authority of the church is not the bishops in New York City or the cardinals and whatever place, or the pope, or the head honcho archbishop of such and such a place. That's not the head of the church. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. The head of the church He is the head of the church through the Word of God. The church does not get its doctrine from headquarters. The church gets its doctrine from Jesus Christ, who has given us the Bible. Now, the great principle, sad principle of Catholicism and Protestantism is that Catholicism and Protestantism, the churches get their doctrine from someone else other than Jesus Christ and someone else, somewhere else other than the Bible. If they got it from the Bible, they would cease to be who they are. They would no longer be Methodist. They would no longer be Congregational. They would no longer be Lutheran. It would not be possible. A Methodist would have to stop being a Methodist if they followed the Bible. They'd have to stop getting their pastors from the Methodist organization. They'd have to start ordaining their own pastors. Methodists would have to believe in eternal security, because the Bible tells us that He gives unto them eternal life, and no man is able to pluck them out of their Father's hand. And you start taking these the doctrine of the Bible, and all of a sudden you stop being one of those churches. How can you be a Lutheran without believing in infant sprinkling? You can't be a Lutheran without believing in infant sprinkling, because that's Lutheranism. You see, independent church is... Now, if you think about that, the people better know the Bible. The people better know the Bible. If they don't know the Bible, they got a problem. And in theory, they are stopping to be a New Testament church. I remember years ago, when Fox River was making its big moves and into rock music. And, of course, the pastor over there is a graduate of Maranatha Baptist Bible College. And I remember talking to Dr. Hollywood, who was one of the part of the executive board of Maranatha for many years and the top theology teacher. I said to Dr. Hollywood one day, this is obviously quite a while ago, 20 years ago, I said, "Dr. Howard, I can't believe it." I says, "I can't believe it that the people in those churches know so little of the Bible. They know so little of the Bible that they let these preachers come in there and take away their dress standards and take away their organ and take away their pews and bring in this rotten music. I can't believe that people would know so little of the Bible they let these preachers do it." And this is what he said to me. He said, "The problem is, not only do the people not know the Bible, but preachers don't even know the Bible." New Testament church is a church that is directly under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that authority, authority is through the Word of God. And the minute that church stops being under the authority of the Word of God, they stop being a New Testament church. They might as well just call themselves the social club or the religious organization, but they should take the name church off of there, because they aren't functioning as a New Testament church. Now, so we see the picture, obvious picture. Jesus is there. Here's the candlesticks all around him. And these candlesticks, there's no one between. There's nothing between him and those churches. They're directly responsible to him, and they're answering to him. And they have to have a relationship to him. Now, obviously, that throws out half the Protestant churches, because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They aren't saved. They aren't saved. They don't even fit the category of the New Testament church. Church is made up of saved people. But the church is independent by relationship. Now, may I say it again? Independent does not mean independent. Independent means dependent upon Jesus Christ. It means under His authority. Now, I understand that we live in a day of ignorance. And the days of apostasy always are characterized by ignorance. And these preachers, they're really slick. How'd they change the music at Fox River? How'd they change it from hymns to rock music? I'll tell you how they change it. This is how slick they are. The pastor went, had a series, and he went through so-called every verse in the Bible on music. And at the end of the series, he closed the Bible, says, "That's all the Bible says about music, period." And that meant the next week they could have their rock music. Now, talk about using the Bible dishonestly, deceitfully. That is an understatement of what these men do. They're false prophets, deceiving the people. They are not under the authority of the Bible. Now, we can say a lot of things about that. And I won't say a lot, but let me just say this. Just to kind of, without saying a lot tonight about music, you know, Psalm 1:1 is the introduction to the book of Psalms. It tells us who can write music and who can sing music to God. It says, "Blessed are they that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But their delight is in the law of God, and in their law do they meditate day and night." That tells us who can sing songs to the Lord, and tells us who should write songs to the Lord. And I guarantee you, the people, the songs that they're getting, those people don't follow, don't match what the Bible says. And we could say more. But the authority of the church is what? The Bible. And you know what? You can't know the Bible without the illuminator of the Bible, and that's the Holy Spirit. So we have the relationship of the church. Direct relationship. It's dependent upon Christ. Now, could I say something about this? New Testament Baptist Church does not work. It doesn't work if you don't have Spirit-filled members. Remember our founding fathers, like John Adams said, "This constitution of our country was made for a God-fearing people. This constitution was made for a God-fearing people." And you know what? Our constitution was not made to function in a world, and it doesn't function in a world where you don't have people who believe in God, when you don't have people that believe in God, nor do you have people that, or people that don't believe the Bible. No, nonetheless, can a New Testament church function? You can't have a real Baptist church. People dependent on God, the church functioning dependent, independent, but dependent on God. It can't happen unless people are filled with the Holy Spirit. It won't happen. Their doctrine won't stay straight. Their standards won't stay straight. They won't fulfill the function that they have before God. You say, how can you say that? Well, it's easy. Just look at the American Baptist churches. Those churches used to be in churches of believers. What about the Southern Baptists? Most of those churches came out of the separate light Baptist movement. How did they get where they get where they are today? How did the Swedish Baptist Church get where it is? How did the North American, the German Baptist Church get where it is today? Where do these churches get where they? I tell you where they got. They got there because they stopped being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they start putting humanism into the church, and not the Bible. So the church is independent, but it's dependent. The church has a direct relationship with God. The church functions independently, and its works, its duties are the duties of a singular body. Acts chapter 13 tells us that the church at Antioch sent out Barnabas and Paul. And it says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. And when Barnabas and Paul went on the missionary journey, who did they come back to? What church did they come back to? They came back to Antioch. They came back to the church at Antioch. They gave report to the church at Antioch. They didn't give a report to the greater Judean fellowship of Baptist churches. They didn't even give a report to the fundamental Baptist churches of the Middle East. They gave a report to the local church, the church at Antioch. Now, the independence of the church is also a preventative of or an insurer or a helper of its purity and its longevity. Of its purity and its longevity. Now, how about its purity? Well, the purity of the church is dependent upon a number of factors. One of the factors is the people knowing the Bible. The second factor is the people looking to the Bible and not to other people and not to other organizations. And history will tell you that the stronger the bonds has of a church has with any outside organizations, the more apt that church or the quicker that that church will depart from the truth. How can it be? Well, American Baptist churches. How can it be that 90%+ of them are all apostate? Well, because they function as a denomination. They sent their young men to the denominational Bible colleges. And the young men came back from the denominational Bible colleges with their false teaching and their false thinking and started changing the churches. You know, you don't go to a Bible college and come back to change the church. There's something vitally wrong with that. There's something vitally wrong with that. Sent them to the Bible colleges and the seminaries, and they came back. And guess what? The new preachers were young. And they had new ideas. And the old people died. And the church went the direction of the Bible college. Because they violated the principle of the independence of the local church. Now, there's a very independent group out there. In fact, the first, what we would call the first known fundamental Baptist organization, 1920 in the North, the General Association of Regular Baptists separated from the American Baptist, Northern Baptist Conference because of the apostasy. And they started the General Association of Regular Baptists. And for years, the General Association of Regular Baptists stood true to the Word of God. But as time went on, people's loyalty was to the General Baptist organizations. And they had General GRB-approved schools. And they had GRB-approved mission boards. And the GRB as a whole left the principles of personal separation and ecclesiastical separation upon which they were founded. And people remained in the association and kept drifting with the association. Why? Because the stronger the ties of a church to any outside organization, is the degree in which that church will depart from the truth. Because the human part is that people are relational beings. And you know, you can relate to this. A lot of people, they are more in what is personal relations or friendships are more important to most people than what the Bible says. And people go with relations rather than with people rather than relationship with Jesus Christ. So, if you would go back to these boys are studying Baptist church street. If you go back to the inroads of liberalism into the Baptist churches in the 1800s, 1880s, they will say that the number one reason was that the church had lost its sense of the purity and the autonomy of the local church. And we could go on to say many other things, but it's very important for us to understand the very specific teaching of the New Testament of a church to be an independent, self-governing, autonomous, local New Testament church. And we will have to close there on that point. Very important biblical truth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God tonight. And we thank you that what we can learn from the Bible. We thank you for what we have learned from history. What we see from that which is all around us, Lord. That certainly the devil is seeking to destroy the New Testament church. But we thank you that, Lord, that through the Word of God and through your Holy Spirit and through obedience to it, The New Testament church is stronger and more powerful and more stable and more enduring than any other institution. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it if the people of God stay true to to the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.